Loshim Yom Kodem Achag, which means that we have to start preparing for Pesach. So there's a question of whether or not one should be involved in the baking of matzahs, the fias hamatzahs. And this is more of a general discussion as well of how much should a person go out of their way to perform as many mitzvahs as possible. We know that there are 613 mitzvahs. Some of them, many of them we can't do if you're not a Kohen, if you're not a woman, if you're not living there. So a lot that you can't do. But how much should we go out of the way to perform mitzvahs that we're not actually obligated to perform? Certainly mitzvahs that we have to perform, that's not a question. We have to wear tefillin every single day, we have to daven. But something like tzitzis, you don't really have to wear dal kanfos. If I choose not to wear arba kanfos, I don't want to wear a four-cornered garment. I'm not obligated to wear tzitzis. Is that something that we have to go out of the way? Shluach hakein. If there's a bird sitting over some eggs, sitting on a nest, do I have to send that bird away? There's no obligation, but should I send the mother bird away to pick up the eggs? There's so many mitzvahs about eating matzah. Certainly the first night of Pesach, we have to eat matzah. But beyond that, I don't really have to eat matzah. Is that an obligation for me to go out of the way, eat matzah, to sit in the sukkah, to shecht an animal, to do kisi adam? There's so many mitzvahs to talk about. How far out of the way should we go in order to perform mitzvahs? And we're going to use, as a starting point, the mitzvah of baking matzahs. So the discussion of baking matzahs begins in a Gemara in Chulin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph. It's a quite well-known Gemara. The Bali Musa uses Gemara. It's a very, very fascinating point. But the Gemara tells us on number one here. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair have a ka'azul pidyon shvuyim. Pinchas ben Yair was a great tzaddik in the times of the Gemara. So he was once traveling to perform the great mitzvah of pidyon shvuyim. Pidyon shvuyim, Rambam describes as the only mitzvah he calls as a mitzvah rabba. It's a pretty serious mitzvah. And there are many, many kulas that we apply of pidyon shvuyim. A person, let's say, is raising money for a shul, and there's pidyon shvuyim, you're allowed to use that money for pidyon shvuyim. So this is a very serious mitzvah he's going to perform. So along the way, what happens is he's pagabei beginai nahara. He gets stuck behind the river. Now, he can't get to the other side. There's no bridge, there's no ferry, there's no nothing. So Amar Lei, so Rav Pinchas ben Yair says to the river, ginai, split the river in half. I want to pass through. Amar Lei, the river responds back to Pinchas ben Yair. Ata holech lasos ratzon koncha. You're going to perform the ratzon Hashem. Vani holech lasos ratzon koni. And I also was commanded to do ratzon Hashem, to flow, have a flowing river. However, says the river, ata safek osa, safek yata osa. We're not sure if you're going to be successful. You might come up with some money and they may not want to let you redeem the individual. Unsure whether you'll be able to do it. But Vani, says the river, Vade Osa, I'm going to certainly flow. I haven't stopped since the creation of the world. I've been flowing like a river. So who are you to tell me to split for you? I'm Vade going to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem and you're a Safek. Amar Lei, Pinchas ben Yair, he was quite a good negotiator. He says, Imiata Cholik, if you don't, split in half for me. I'm going to make a gzera that water should never pass through ever again. So that scared the river in Chalakla. The river split in half for Pinchas ben Yair. Shortly thereafter, there was a guy who was trailing behind with Pinchas ben Yair. And he was schlepping on his shoulders wheat for baking matzahs. And he just missed it. The water came back together. It split for Pinchas ben Yair, and then it came crashing down and started flowing. And the poor guy just missed the opportunity to cross through the river. So Pinchas ben Yair turned around and saw the poor guy with the wheat on his shoulder. Amar Lei, he says back to the river, Chalek Lei Nami Lahai. Split in half for this individual as well, because the mitzvah asik, he's also involved in a mitzvah in Chalek Lei, and the river split a second time. So Bai Musar used this story to say Moshe Beinu was only able to split the yams of one time. But Pinchas ben Yair was able to split two times? And Moshe Benu was the whole tzibur. And here's just for an individual, two people. Say they have different discussions that Moshe Benu was kodem matan Torah. He didn't have a koach. Pinchas ben Yair was after matan Torah. So he had a koach haTorah. Fine, not for now. There's a discussion actually, Dasan Vaviram were left behind. So it actually says that it split a second time for Dasan Vaviram according to Midrashim. Erase that, please. If you look at number two, Rabbeinu Rokeach writes that Kol Yisrael Tzarech Leilech Im Achitin Litchon. The Rokeach writes that every single Yid should go and try to grind the wheat, and he brings a raya from this Gemara that there's a mitzvah to baking the matzahs. Not just eating matzahs, but even baking the matzahs, there's an inyan to bake matzahs. And the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rush, number 3, HaRush haya mishtadel b'matas mitzvah, that the Rush would try really hard to be osik in baking a matas. V'omed al siyasa, he would stand over and supervise the making of the dough and the rolling and the holes and the baking. U'mizaris osim, he would excite them and get them engaged. U'misaya barichasim, he'd help out in the preparations of the matas. V'chein, says the Shulchan Aruch, roi l'chol adam lasos, every single person should try their best. Lihi topelhu ba'atzmo b'mitzvah. Everyone should be involved in the baking of matzahs. We're going, a week from tomorrow, the youth is taking the youth to go bake matzahs. Now, not everyone gets the most glamorous job baking matzahs. Everyone wants to be in the oven and put the matzah in and check the matzahs on the way out. Firstly, you have to be really trained to know how to check the matzahs. I went a couple weeks ago, I went baking matzahs, and one of my jobs, I had to wash the bowl. Not the most glamorous job, but that's, you get involved in a certain extent of baking the matzahs. And I got to switch to another job, and then I had to carry the poles holding the dough to the other guy, and you do whatever you can to get involved in the baking the matzahs. There's a big, big inyan. A few years ago, my brother-in-law, Ruvi Schwartz, so he had arranged for the two of us to go do every step, every process of baking the matzahs. So he found out that he's called some guy who knew another guy. So I think it's around June time. There are farms in Jersey, somewhere in Jersey, where you could cut wheat. There has to come a certain time where it's starting to get dry. So you could use it, you could grind it, but it can't be too dry because then if it rains and it's issues of chametz. So June is like the time in New Jersey to cut wheat. So he bought some scissors, and I picked them up and broke them. We traveled to New Jersey, and we went. We found the farm, and there were a bunch of chassidim there cutting wheat. So we had scissors, and they had sickles. So that was our first mistake. So we were trying to cut each one with the scissor. So we cut. We were for hours just filling a box up of wheat. So then we took it to some place, some dungeon in a bar park, where some guy had a makeshift room where we had to go and see every step of the borer and the maracet. He had this zorah. Zorah is one of these stages. What's zorah? Winnowing. So you have wind blowing, and then all the light stuff, all the chaff, blows away, and the kernels fall down. So what he had in this basement, there's a huge fan, and then it was blowing all the chaff across the room, and the kernels were falling down. And then we did we were miracade, and then we did boer. We did every step, and then you have to let it sit for in storage for a few months. And then we went back and we did we grinded. There was hand grinding. Bayad is a chumrah to do bayad. So we went to some place. We started grinding it with our hands, and it was really hard. And then at the end of the day, something got botched when we started baking the matzah. So we didn't even eat any of it. Yeah, but it's certainly a fun process. That's mamish. That was the amelis. Schar for the amelis. Schar for the halicha. But we didn't get the schar for the I guess the asiya and the achilas amatzah.
Did you reach your kippos?
Maybe. So
did you get the mitzvah still?
I'm not even sure if this is a mitzvah. I don't look into the monah mitzvahs whether or not baking alone is considered a mitzvah. So if it is, so that's a good question to ask. Is it only a mitzvah if you have it to eat, or even if just baking without having to eat it? So I don't think it's a mitzvah in its own right. It's a preparation, it's a hechsher mitzvah. But something that's brought down, the Shulchan Aruch says that one should really do. And again, it doesn't mean to do every step of it. It means some level of involvement in the mitzvahs, baking the matzahs is very, very encouraged. So why? What's so important about it? So take a look at number 4, the Tshuvas Avnei Nezer. Avnei Nezer writes, "Vineni laskiro davar beito." He's describing something that took place in his time. "Kishemati shenifrat meod beiza ayaros." There was a breach in a number of the cities in his area. "Asheinim ofim matzos kol ba'al ba'is la'atzmo." That the individual ba'batim were not baking their own matzos, meaning they had matzah factories. So what's wrong with that? "Rak echad ofim limchor." One guy would have a big matzah factory, and he'd sell it. He'd make a lot of money selling pounds and pounds of matzos. "V'ro alai ha'maisim od." And this was very, very bad in the eyes of the Avnei Nezer. What's so bad about having a matzah factory? So it says there are two reasons why one should bake their own matzos. Number one, "Ha'echad ki im habal habayis ofe mashkiach al matzos." If I'm baking my own matzahs and I'm watching over to make sure they're under my hashgacha and my chumras, "V'chol echad charid al ad mitzvah." Each person's going to have the year shemaim for his particular matzah. "V'roa sheyeh outside ayoser tov," and he'll make sure that it's going to be perfect. "V'dine afias matzos rabo kim rabo." There's so many halachas of baking matzahs. Lo kein, it won't be the same level of your shemaim and care. Im echad ofe, kdi avriach komak masel lemat botzos. For one guy to bake for everyone else to make some money, lo yashkiach kol kacha amatza. So a mitzvah, he's not going to have the same level of hashkacha. We know, a person who sells or who has a restaurant, the level of hashkacha won't be the same. A guy could be a very trustworthy guy, but it's just not possible to have the same level of supervision when you're overseeing, you know, tons of burgers coming out of the back and people running in and out. The same level of hashkacha is not there. A number of years ago, I was in Eretz Yisrael. I was recruiting for DRS at this high school, this base medrash program for Lev Shlomo. So I was there the first time I'd been there in 10 years or so. I was there by myself, and it was I landed a Thursday night. And Friday morning, I woke up in the Katamon area. That's where I was staying. I didn't know all the hashkachas. You know, it was always changing what you could rely on, what you can't rely on. So I'm walking down Amek. That's what it's called, right? Amek? Amek Refaim? Right. So that's new. When we were in yeshiva, that wasn't a popular area. They had one place. What was that place called?
Norman's.
Norman's was the only place we went there. So now it became very popular. So I'm walking, looking for something that maybe is going to have a good hashkacha, even though I don't know what a good hashkacha is. Happens to be a person who I know was driving by, and he sees me. He stops over to the side. I said, perfect, I'm starving. Where could I buy food from? He says, anywhere. I said, very funny. What's a good hashkacha? Tell me where I could go. He said, any place. Eid echa nemam bi yisurim. Right? If the halachas of Isser v'heter, you could trust any Jew. A Jew is trusted, eid echa, he's a one aid. He's trusted bi yisurim. You could go to any person's house and have his food. So what's the difference in a restaurant? And we got the whole debate. I'm starving there. I said, that's only true in an individual. When a guy's making money off of it, we have so many stories of people trying to play games. They got the wrong order. The meat went bad. They don't want their customers to be upset, so they buy not the highest standard of meat or a tray of meat. You can't just trust a restaurant owner without there being a proper hashkacha. So here as well, says the Avni Nezer, you can't have one guy supervising the whole matzah factory. Thousands upon thousands of matzahs are coming out of here, and he can't have the proper hashkacha to check every single matzah. So that's why each Baal Bayis should bake their own matzahs. That's number one, for hashkacha, for the proper matzahs. Second reason he writes is as follows.
What are you saying? He should have the ovens? What are you saying? Each Baal Bayis should have
the ovens? Yeah, the ovens that they have, I don't know how it really works exactly, but you can make, I know people who have made matzah in their own like frying pans at home. If you know what you're doing, I wouldn't recommend this unless you really look into it. You don't need those types of industrial ovens, to my understanding. But I really don't know, so I'm not going to talk any further on that.
When you say baking matzahs, are you seeing the process from the beginning, or just when you have the flour and you're putting it into the oven? What does baking matzah really mean?
Well, the whole process,
from beginning to end?
Yeah, from the flour mixing with the water, and then the kneading, and then the rolling, and everything else. Every part, I mean, to have some part, I mean, you don't have to have any part if you don't want, but what that's being recommended is that you be involved to some extent. The Avi Nezer thought a Baal Bayis should be making his own matzahs entirely from beginning to end. Nowadays, we're not really capable of doing that, so just to be involved, to be osik in the mitzvah, at some stage, whether it means just carrying the dough from one place to the next or drying out the bowls, have some level of involvement. But again, the first reason of Avi Nezer was because he wanted to make sure that they were kosher matzahs. That's number one.
Your own, you're going to watch carefully than what you're being paid, but that's only assuming I'm as qualified as that other man, because if I'm not as qualified and he's qualified, it would be better to pay a qualified man than to do it yourself.
But you need still proper hashkacha. If you're not capable, you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't do something that you don't know anything about. The guy is qualified, but he's making a business out of it. If there's no hashkacha over it, then we're concerned that it may not be being performed as best as possible.
Oh, there's no hashkacha also.
Right. So then the number two reason that the Avni Nezer recommends one bake shel matzahs is shenis, is mizutar, it's small, that which it says in the Medrash, bishar shetochnin v'lashin es ha-matzos. The reward that one gets for grinding and for kneading the matzahs, there's schar involved. Vim ki betchina hadavar kasha, if it's too hard to grind, because grinding is a process they may not let you do. Fine. Akopanim be'ikar mitzos shimur delisha, at least to watch over the kneading process, lama nima be'mitzah, Chaviv emod, pamachas b'shana. What's so hard? Why would you lose out on a chance to get involved once a year to watch the kneading process, to do something part of the baking? V'yikna matzos minashuk, kichote mitzvah minashuk, just to grab some matzos off the shelf? Try to get involved in baking matzos. There's a big Indian to get involved. You get more schar, just for the schar. So the first reason is a cautious question. And the second issue is just to get more schar, because there's an involvement of the baking of matzahs, there's special schar involved.
Okay, so what's the difference then, what you really say, if you have shmur matzah, that I assume is from the initial process of starting to cut it to the end, and regular matzah? What's regular matzah?
What do you mean, regular matzah?
In other words, it's not shmur matzah.
Yeah, so this is not for now, but there are different discussions. At what point is a shmir necessary? Is it necessary from the shas ktsira, like you said, or shas lisha? So that's a different machlokas. Maybe this next week we could discuss the different stages. But the point is here that there's a highly encouraged for a person to get involved in baking matzahs. That's what comes out from this. Okay. Yeah.
Is there a differentiation between the matzahs that you use for the seder and all the rest? I mean, for example, we buy 20 pounds of something like that.
No, there's an Indian dafka. There's only a mitzvah to eat on the chiyuv to eat the first night. So that's the one you should be involved in. The remaining nights, there's a famous gra that writes, even though there's no obligation to have matzah the rest of the time, you have a kiyum. You do get a fulfillment each time you eat matzah, but you don't have to eat matzah the rest of the time.
So this matzah that we're talking about, this is the matzah for the seder that you want to be
involved in. Exactly. When I went a couple weeks ago, so I bought 2 pounds for the seder. And the rest, bought from whatever factory, Haredim, that I was not involved in. Okay, so now look at the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan writes, and this is a famous statement he writes, that he says, firstly, even though we know, of course, I could appoint a shliach, why do I have to do it? I'm appointing the Haredim bakery, the Papa Talim, whatever you're going to, I'm memana them my shliach, and they'll bake the matzahs for me. So why do I have to do this? I could always appoint a shliach. Because there's a concept, mitzvah bo, yosem mibishlucho. It's better that a person perform a mitzvah on his own than having to appoint an agent. But then he writes the famous Arizal, which is brought down by the Taz in the bold here, who b'shem Arizal, kasev Taz, shetikin gadahul shiyamo b'mitzvazu ad shiyaziyah. There's a special tikin in the world of the Arizal, however that works. It's a tikin abris, what Weimer is speaking about in Yosef Tzadik. The sweating that one has during the grinding and during the process of baking matzahs is a special tikkun for a tikkun of bris. So that's a more deeper understanding, a Kabbalistic understanding of why one should engage himself in baking matzahs. So either it's because of kashrus, better kashrus when you do it yourself. Number two is it's just extra schar, or perhaps it's a deeper level of Kabbalah of it's a tikkun habris. Let's talk about other mitzvahs. Should a person run after other mitzvahs as well? So there's a Gemara in Chulin. Those learning Daf Yomi will be there in a couple weeks from now. The Gemara is talking about Shiluach HaKein. Shiluach HaKan, Shiluach HaKein, the different ways to pronounce it. It's really Kein, that's really how it's pronounced, but it appears in the Pasuk Shiluach HaKan because it's in the middle of the word, it's in Asnachta. So either way, people will do Shiluach HaKein, Shiluach HaKan. So when it comes to Shiluach HaKein, the Gemara says, in number 6, Yachol Yachzer Beharim Ugvos Kidei Shimsa Kein. One might think maybe you should look high and far till you could find a bird's nest to perform the mitzvah. You should be mechazer after mitzvah, mehadr after mitzvah. Maybe one should taka do this. Tamaloma, the pasuk says, ki kare, which means bimme'ora lefanecha, only if it happens to be that way. I mean, a person shouldn't chase after the mitzvah shilach hakein. If you happen to see one along the way, there's a kosher bird, and there's some eggs there, there's some chicks there, let me send away the mother bird to pick up the eggs, to pick up the chicks.
So what's the pshat when people say, does somebody does
see
that.
No, let's get to the sugya. Let's do the sugya first. So that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says you don't have to chase after mitzvahs. If it happens to see. So let me ask you a question now. Let's say you happen to see one along the way. Now do I have to go do shulach hakein, or only if I want to get the eggs out, or the chickens out? So the Gemara tells us I don't have to chase after. But if I see it, if I chance upon it, can I just ignore it also? Or maybe I see one, I should talk, a robin is a kosher bird. There's a big discussion what's considered a mesorah and what you're allowed to eat versus what's a kosher bird regarding these halachas. So robin's actually a kosher bird. We just don't have the mesorah in terms of eating it. We can't eat robins. But it's a kosher bird, legabe shluach hakein. So robins are very common here in this area. So if you see a robin's nest in your tree, some property that's rishus a robin, so then you could perform the mitzvah. Should you? Go ahead and do it. If you don't want the eggs. So what's the halacha? Yeah. So number 7, Chavis Yair writes, Sheila Nishalti, I was asked the question, Im ki kare kein tzipur, kan tzipur lefnei ish besadeh, if a person happens to chance upon a kosher bird's nest, Im chuyiv akoponim litzkok lo l'shalech hazeim, is he required now since he chanced upon it? He didn't look for it. He chanced upon it. Is he at that point required to send away the mother bird? O reshai leilech ledarko. Or perhaps he could go along his way. The Torah doesn't tell you to send it away. Only if you want to take the eggs or the chicks. But if you just see one, you don't have to perform the mitzvah. So what's the halacha? So the Chavis Yair Paskins, that he felt, if you chance upon such a bird's nest, he thinks a person is required to send away the mother bird. You don't want the eggs at all. But if you chance upon it, you're zocher the chance upon it, you should, dafka, send away the mother bird in order to pick up the eggs, to pick up the chicks. He says, particularly in terms of the Zohar's understanding, there's a big discussion. Again, now is not the time to talk about the Shulach HaKein in great depth. But there are many reasons why the Mefarshim tried to explain why we have such a mitzvah. But the Zohar writes, because when you send the mother bird away, and the mother bird is busy chirping, looking for its eggs, looking for its chicks that were just taken, so it's Tzar Balei Chaim. And it engenders a certain amount of rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which sees the mother bird crying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins to have compassion on the mother bird, and through that, compassion on his children, Bnei Yisrael. And because of that reason behind it, says the Chavis Yair, therefore if one does, is zocha, to see a bird's nest, you should dafka go out of the way to perform the mitzvah, because again, it engenders this amount of rachmanis from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Birka Yosef, the Chida, argues though. The Chida, if you look at number 8, he says, he quotes the Chavis Yair and looks at two lines down, he writes, he says, if you don't want to take the mother or the chickens or the chicks or the eggs, ain Allah mitzvah shilach again. There is no such mitzvah. And he says, one who does this actually is not doing a favor for the nation. It's cruel to do such a thing. So there's a machlokes when it comes to shilach again, whether one should send away the mother bird or should they not. So let's use this to discuss other mitzvahs as well. I'm not going to go so long because my throat, as you could tell, is really hurting me. But by Shulach HaKein, certainly there is no inin to be mahadir after mitzvahs. One shouldn't chase after mitzvahs of Shulach HaKein. But we saw by matzahs that one should. You should look for the opportunity to bake matzahs. So look in the beginning of Darchei Tshuva. Darchei Tshuva, a sefer on Yardaya, he writes as follows. He's talking about the mitzvah of Shechita. There's a big discussion whether there's a mitzvah to perform Shechita or not. Machlokes Rambam Ravid. Some say there is a mitzvah. Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. Ravid said there's no mitzvah. If I want to eat, so then I need to be matir, the animal, so I shecht it to eat it. There's no key mitzvah that's there. So if you assume that there's a mitzvah in Shechita, should one go out of their way to perform the mitzvah? Should you learn the halachas of Shechita to be zocha to perform such a mitzvah? So listen to what he writes. He says, Yesh mitzvah aseh, shechoshev sham kama mitzvah aseh, shelo yischayv adam kim ayidei siba. There are many mitzvahs that you don't have to do. It only is chayv if you have a certain situation. Could go mitzvah makah, a fence. Unless you have a flat roof, there's no mitzvah of a makah. Do I have to now build a house with a flat roof so that I could perform the mitzvah of a makah? Or tittus. We said before, I don't have to wear tittus unless I'm wearing a four-cornered garment. So, or mitzvah biyomo titein scharo, mitzvah to pay your workers on time. So now, do I have to start a business? I don't have anyone, no one works for me. So should I go hire someone in order to pay them on time to fulfill that mitzvah? How far out of your way do you have to go to perform mitzvahs? So he says, tzarech lach zacharem. He says that one should seek opportunities to perform mitzvahs. Lahavi es asmo, to bring a person lidei chiv, to mechayv yourself kedei lekayim gam mitzvahs halalu. One should dafka go out of their way to perform mitzvahs. So if a person has the means, build a house with a flat roof on top, and there's an access point, so you could build a fence. Buy dal kanfos, four-cornered garment. A person should hire an employee to make sure he pays them on time. He says one should. The Gemara Menachos tells us that there was a certain Amora, Rav Katina, was not wearing tzitzis. And they said, well, how are you not wearing tzitzis? He said, I don't have to wear tzitzis, I'm not wearing dal kanfos. He says, still nonetheless, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, the Gemara says, and he takes out his wrath on Am Yisrael, if you're not wearing tzitzis, he takes wrath out on you. Even though you did nothing wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants people to be mehadir after mitzvahs. So he says, Hu adin deroy l'chol ish yirei shemayim. Again, I've said this many times, those who come Sunday morning to learn, in my eyes, are considered yirei shemayim. L'hadir, a person should chase after mitzvahs, sheyado lida yagil yado lishcho pamachas. That person should at least perform Shechita one time in their life. At least once. Now, it's not an easy thing. Not everyone could stomach such a... It doesn't have to be a behemoth. It could be an oaf. I saw birds being shechted, chickens being shechted. It's not that bloody. I've never seen a cow being shechted. It's very bloody, supposedly. If you could stomach it, shecht it. Now, obviously you need to be trained. They're not going to let you just cut off a head of a chicken and lose money on that one. But one should be mahadir after this. This is the discussion we had a couple years ago about wearing Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch that a person should wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. They said only a person is knowing other midas chasidus should he wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. So someone told me after the shiur, I think he emailed me online listening to the shiur, so Rav Neventhal said that one should wear Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin at least once in his lifetime. Just once. Like this din here in Darkei Teshuva. At least once in your life do shech the animal. Once in your life do kisui adam. Cover the blood up of, of shechting a bird or a chaya. Once in your lifetime, just do it once. But then he retracts, at least with regards to shechita. He says, the yesh lomar, the b'shechita ein sarach lishtadel lishchot. Shum balechayim. When it comes to shechita, he thinks that one should not actually. This is a mitzvah that one should not perform. I mean, the mitzvahs that we have that one shouldn't do. Like egla rufa is not a mitzvah you should look for. Or a gittin is not a mitzvah a person should look for. If certain things come about, and then you have a mitzvah to do it. There's a mitzvah petach amor. One of my mitzvahs I really want to perform, a friend of mine who I learn with oftentimes, I tell him, he's a well-to-do individual, so I asked him if he could buy me a donkey so I could perform the mitzvah petach amor. So he's yet to buy it for me. I'm hoping that one day he will buy it for me. But there's a mitzvah, petach hamor, you could do it one of two ways. You could either be poded the hamor unto a seh and give that sheep to a kohen, or you could do an arifa, you could break the neck of the donkey in order to, it's also another mitzvah. So the Rambam counts as two mitzvahs. The mitzvah either to be poded the hamor or to break the neck of the hamor. So the Ravid says, that's not a mitzvah to break the neck of a hamor. That's being mafsid manas kuna. I otherwise would have given a sheep to the kohen. Instead, I break the donkey's neck, now the coin gets nothing. That's a hefsed. That's not a mitzvah. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah nonetheless. Just like gittin's a mitzvah. We have things that are negative, that are destructive, that are still mitzvahs, but doesn't mean a person should go out of the way to perform the mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Ari Mikla. So we should make sure to have someone kill someone accidentally so he could send them to Ari Mikla? Certainly not. So there's certain mitzvahs that are really not on the radar. We shouldn't be, hopefully we don't perform them. He says the mitzvah of shechit is the same thing. Because the Gemara in Bamatia tells us that Rebbe once, there was a little lamb that came hiding underneath him, a little calf underneath his coat. And he says, go, that's why, I forget the Lashon, Lechach Nevrasi, you crave for this purpose, go be shechted. And that Gemara says that he was punished, Nenesh Rebbe, because Shelo Chayis al ha'egel. He didn't have any mercy on the egel. So you have to have rachmanis, even when you're shechting an animal. So if you want to have an animal to shecht, so then shecht it. But to go out of the way, just dafka to perform shechita, he thinks that's bechlal mazik. That's like giving a get when you don't need to give a get. That's like breaking the, that's like egla rufa. It's like breaking the neck, that rifas petach hamor. And that's why he says the Ramah holds there's no bracha of shechianu when shechting an animal. Because you only say shechianu when there's something simcha happening, when there's a happy thing taking place. Shaking lulav and sukkah and pesach. But to shecht an animal and to say shechianu, that's against it. That's an oxymoron. And therefore, shechita is like gittin. It's like egla rufa, where it's a negative type of positive commandment. He felt that one should not go out of the way.
Is shechita like an
actual mitzvah? In the Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara calls it lav avodi. It's not an avoda. That's a big machlokas. Rashi tells us why that is. Rashi thinks it's lav avoda because a zar could perform it. So, but in terms of Shechita Schulin, so I mentioned that before, that's a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid, whether it's a mitzvah. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah. The Ravid says, no, it's a hech shabam, it's just a matir. So that's a big, larger discussion. But assuming it's a mitzvah, so then this conversation becomes relevant. If it's not a mitzvah, then it's not a relevant conversation. Now, there's a fascinating gra in Maitha Rav. So, the gra, Maitha Rav wasn't written by the Gra, it was written by his Talmidim, Rav Chaim Mivolozhin and others. So there's a comment, this is in Os Kuf Dalet, those who want to look it up. He says, Bikesh, one time the Vilna Gaon asked from a very wealthy individual, his name was Rav Aaron Mivarshipa. And he requested from this individual, Sheitein lo karka dal amos adal amos bimatana. He requested that this individual, who had property in Eretz Yisrael, to give him a gift of a land, 4x4 amos in Eretz Yisrael. Vinata sham ilan, pri, and he planted a tree, a fruit tree in that property. V'kayim gimel shanim arla, and he was able to fulfill the mitzvah of arla. We know the first 3 years of a fruit tree you can't eat. It's called arla. So he fulfilled the mitzvah of arla. He went out of the way to perform this. And the shana reviews, the fourth year was neter avai, where you could only eat the fruit in Yerushalayim. And then he was kanasid sadachitim. He bought a field of wheat, and then he cut all the wheat there, and then he left peah to perform the mitzvah of peah, and then he gave meiser, and then leket, and shich. He did all the mitzvahs of Zeraim. He went out of the way to perform such a mitzvah. A few weeks ago, I got an email from some organization. I get tons of emails about tzedakah and this. So some organization wanted to sell property in Eretz Yisrael to perform these types of mitzvahs. When Shemitah comes around, they also do this. To help the farmers who are not making money, they buy a property in Eretz Yisrael, dollar by dollar, and you can be zochah the mitzvah of Shemitah by having land in Eretz Yisrael and leaving it unworked. So these are different real estate opportunities for mitzvahs. I'm not saying you should do this or not. But the Gra was a person who's mahadir after mitzvahs. So the list really goes on. You could bring this in many many applications of being mahadir after mitzvahs. So there's one final point which I don't want to get involved. I'll just leave you off with this idea. We discussed up until now particular mitzvahs that we're not required to do, but you should go out of the way to perform them if you can. There are also individuals who are pater in mitzvahs, like Nashim, for example, by mitzvahs asei shezman graman. Individuals who are pater in mitzvahs, should they go out of their way in performing mitzvahs or not? So Rav Asher Weiss in his newest sefer, Klali HaMitzvahs, has a whole discussion on this topic. Because there is a stira, the Yushami writes, that a person does a mitzvah, mishu pater min adavar, v'osehu nikra hedyo. If you're pater from a mitzvah and you do it anyways, you're called a hedyo. And the Ramah brings us down to Hilchos Sukkah. It's talking about a situation if it rains. And we know when it rains, you're pater from sukkah, mitztayer. So what if a person wants to be machmir and sleep in such a sukkah, eat in such a sukkah, he's called a hedyo. That's a silly thing to do, to sit in a sukkah that's raining. So then how do we understand all the other mitzvahs we're describing here, that women, they're pater from lulav, they're pater from sukkah. So we don't say if they sit in a sukkah, they're hedyod. If they shake a lulav, they're not a hedyod. So when do we say they're called a hedyod, and when do we say they're not called a hedyod? So it's a whole long discussion, take a look there if you want. But I'll just leave with this last point, that what the Gra, to connect it to the Gra we said earlier, and the Gra says it's very simple. Sometimes there are mitzvahs that exist, but not everyone has to do them, and you can opt into them if you want. Sometimes there are things that are not even mitzvahs. If you sit in the sukkah tonight, or today, that's a hedyot. There's no mitzvah of sukkah right now. If you eat matzah today, that's called a hedyot. So if you sit in the sukkah when it's raining, that's not a mitzvah. That's not a sukkah. Sukkah is only when it's comfortable. And once it's not comfortable, that's called a hedyot. So it's only true you're called a hedyot when you're doing something that's not a mitzvah at all. When you're doing something that's a mitzvah, but you're not obligated to do the mitzvah. But there's a kiyum, it's a woman shaking a lulav. A woman sitting in a sukkah, there's a kiyum, that's not called a hedyot. That's the difference. So at the end of the day, we see that there are many mitzvahs that a person is not obligated to perform, but a person should try to be mahadir after the mitzvahs. And in particular, when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch, I believe this is the only mitzvah that I'm familiar with in the Shulchan Aruch, that he says a person should be meshtadel b'matzis mitzvah. I'm not sure, actually, Minyanos is another thing mentioned, meshtadel. But a person should certainly try if they can, to now it's a little late in the game, to get an appointment for baking matzahs. But a person can, he should try to get involved in the mitzvahs of baking matzahs. And if not, wait for next year to hopefully remember this year and to be mahadir after mitzvahs. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you.